To item 7, Robert McWilliams.
Robert McWilliams is requesting authorization to construct a 16-foot by 16-foot open-sided gazebo in association with the reconstruction of a private pier adjacent to his property at 1215 South Fairwater Drive, situated along Edgewater Haven in Norfolk. Project is protested by an adjacent property owner. Just to give you an idea of the location, this is the main stem of the Elizabeth River here. This is the Lafayette River. Edgewater Haven is located in this vicinity, and the project site is indicated by the arrow. This is an aerial shot from Google Earth. You can see Mr. McWilliams' residence outlined in green. This is the private pier servicing his property. Mr. and Mrs. Hurd, who reside immediately adjacent to the McWilliams, are protesting the project. Mr. McWilliams is proposing several modifications to his existing pier, including the removal of two existing mooring piles, the removal of an existing T-head platform, the construction of a 16-foot by 16-foot open-sided gazebo, the addition of a 12-foot wide by 16-foot long floating dock, which this is the floating dock in this location. This will be accessed by a 4-foot wide by 12-foot long gangway. This is the existing 16-by-16-foot decking space that he proposes to cover and turn into an open-sided gazebo. He's also proposed to convert his existing boat lift from a low-profile boat lift to a high-profile boat lift. This is one of the plan view drawings that was – this is actually the revised drawing that was received in February. This is the cross-section drawing that was received showing the gazebo. The overall height is 11.5 feet from the existing decking space to the top of the gazebo roof. And as I mentioned before, it will be an open-sided structure. These ground shots were taken in January during my site visit. This was his existing private pier shown here. The joint permit application was initially received last December. With his application, Mr. McWilliams submitted signed acknowledgement forms from both adjacent property owners, including one that was signed by Mr. Hurd, indicating that they had reviewed the project drawings that were dated August 5th, 2012. And they did include a 16-by-16-foot gazebo, and there were no objections at that time. The initial proposal, however, would have resulted in decking space that exceeded our 400-square-foot maximum that is statutorily authorized by the code. As a result, Mr. McWilliams submitted revised drawings, which are the ones I just showed you, in early February, illustrating the current proposal. In his cover letter, which is included as part of your package, he did inform us that the Hurds had expressed opposition to the revised plan. So as is customary with any roof structures, whether it's a boathouse or a gazebo, we do notify and are required to notify the adjacent property owners. So we sent an adjacent property owner notification letter, including a copy of the project drawings to the Hurds on February 12th, and we requested comments by February 28th, following, I did not receive any calls of concern or any comments on the project in general. Following the completion of that public comment period, we issued a no permit necessary letter to Mr. McWilliams on March 11th, basically indicating that he didn't require a permit for any portion of the project. We received a phone call on May 20th from Mr. Hurd, who indicated that a work barge had relocated to Mr. McWilliams' pier, and he expressed that both he and his wife did not support the pier-related improvements, and they had not received the adjacent property owner notification letter that had been sent by staff. A copy of their protest letter was dated received May 20th of 2013. In their letter, which is also included as part of your packets, they identify their overall concerns with respect to navigability due to the angle of the pier and the overall effect of the structure on the water. They also express their opposition to the gazebo as a result of the aesthetic impact. In subsequent correspondence with Mr. McWilliams, we indicated that the modifications to his private pier, including the floating dock, the additional deck space, and the lift, are all authorized pursuant to Code Section 28.2-1203A5, and that remains exempt from any permit. However, given the protest that we received, the gazebo no longer qualified for the statutory authorization provided in the code, and so a permit is now required from the commission for the gazebo portion of the project. Construction did begin on the pier portion of the project. These site photos were taken last Thursday. You can see they removed the T-head platform and angled it slightly. And again, this was on the revised drawings that I showed you earlier. And I believe they're close to being done. Obviously, they haven't constructed the roof portion of the gazebo. The Army Corps of Engineers authorized the project through the issuance of their Regional Permit 18. During their navigational review, it was noted that the proposed angled alignment of the pier terminus was not recommended because it's contrary to the general alignment of the other piers in this portion of the waterway. And they recommended an alignment consistent with the alignment of the existing piers. However, they did indicate that this was a recommendation only, and they could not require a change in the current proposed alignment because their navigational review had indicated that the proposed alignment would not cause more than a minimal adverse effect on navigation. Although staff is sympathetic to Mr. and Mrs. Hurd's concerns, the proposed modifications to the existing private pier, including the floating dock, the deck space, and the uncovered boat lift, are authorized pursuant to 28.2-1203A5 of the Code of Virginia. The proposed gazebo would have also qualified for the statutory authorization had it not been protested. Although the gazebo adds to the overall aesthetic impact of the project, we believe the open-sided design and position relative to the statutorily authorized components of the pier serve to minimize those impacts. Additionally, open-sided gazebos are currently allowed under the City of Norfolk ordinances. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all of the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project. Be happy to answer any questions that you may have. And Mr. McWilliams is here today. I believe Mr. and Mrs. Hurd are here as well.
Okay. Any questions for Justine?
This is just for my personal education, but what's the difference in a low-profile and a high-profile boat lift?
Well, he's basically raising it. If you look at the drawings of the existing lift, the pilings were really not – I don't think they used long enough pilings, and you can see
– Well, on this one, is that a high-profile over there?
Yes.
Okay,
and
that's a low.
That's a low.
Okay.
So there's the answer to your question.
Got it. Got it.
I had the same question. Can you back up one slide? Yeah. Just see that tall pole there?
Yes.
Any idea how tall that is compared to the roof structure that will be proposed to be built?
I do not know. Mr. McWilliams might know the height of that. Okay. Again, the overall height of the gazebo is 11 and a half feet. You can ask.
We'll ask that. Any other questions? All right. Mr. McWilliams? Welcome. Let me swear you in. You swear the testimony you will give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Robert McWilliams. I'm the applicant and the property owner, and I did bring some materials with me. I didn't make a copy for everybody, but I do have a copy I can leave with the DMRC.
Okay.
I can give you or
that's fine.
Or somebody.
What do we have?
Justine will help you.
First off, I'd like to thank the commission for handling my case and for scheduling the hearing in an expedient manner. And I think Justine did a pretty good job of summarizing my situation and sort of the dilemma. I'll quickly answer your question about the light post. I'm not really sure. I guess I should have measured it before I came, but it's pretty tall. It casts enough light to cover the pier and the boat. I'm going to say probably almost 20 feet in length.
From the deck?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because it is actually anchored to the stringers, because it is sort of tall, and it's bolted in pretty well, and it's supported with 2x4s on each side, so it doesn't really, even though it's got some sway to it, it doesn't sway, you know, in windy weather, really. So it's, I would say it's probably no taller than 20 feet, maybe at least 15 feet in height. That, by the way, will not stay there. That's been torn down. And it will not be replaced. There'll be lights that will be put along the side structure of the roof, or even the poles that hold the roof up. I just wanted to add a couple of things. I think Justine has done a really good job of giving you a background on my case. I did want to say that throughout this whole process, my wife and I, we like our neighbors. We get along with the Herds. We get along with the Olsons. My whole thing during this whole process was to be transparent and get them involved, get their feedback. We did run into an initial problem with the property line on the west side, on the right side of my pier, where the adjacent owners did not want us to build on their property line. So that caused me to revise my initial drawings. I really wanted to use as much of the existing pier as I could because it's so substantially built. It was built back in 1968, and I jokingly tell people you could dock a battleship there. They don't make piers like that anymore. But to satisfy that issue, I went back to the drawing board. I came up with a design that actually put the end of the pier head beside the end of the pier, and I ran 40 square feet over my allotment. And Justine had mentioned that I could petition the commission, and it might take up to 60 days because I would need to take down either the size of the float pier or the pier head. I talked to my contractor, person who I was thinking about contracting, because again I had not finalized the design, and he had recommended that I try to get the largest float pier possible and did not want me to go with a 9x12 or a 12x12 float pier. It would just be too undersized and not buoyant enough for what we wanted to do. So I went back to the drawing board, and I had initially looked at a pier that went 45 degrees to the left. But it was too severe of an angle for me to come into my boat. It seemed to encroach more towards the Herds Pier on the east side of my property. And so in talking with him, we decided to just follow the property line and come out at about a 75 or an 80-degree angle. And that would put me a little bit further out. It would give me the size of the float pier that I would want, and it would pretty much, give us everything we were looking for in a pier makeover. I also wanted to say my wife, believe it or not, is really the one who has been driving this pier makeover decision. She wants a pretty peer, but more particularly, she's a fair-skinned woman. She's not a sun worshiper. She actually has a skin condition where she has to use a cream, and if she stays out in the sun too long, it can cause the condition to go to her eyes. So, and she also has rosacea as well. So she really wants a covered structure so that she can enjoy the pier and the river. And she's worked pretty much in a virtual office. She has a home office, so she envisions, working out at the end of the pier. We'll have electricity out there, doing computer work out there during the time when the weather is nice. So we really do plan to use the pier and enjoy having a covered roof. We did talk to the herds about some possible compromises. The first plan that I drew up actually was with a flat shed roof. I don't really care for flat roofs that much. The ones I've seen don't really do too much for me. Neither of my adjacent property owners like a flat shed roof style. So we decided to go with a shallow pyramid style roof. And, I've had discussions with the herds about maybe a compromise drawing. But really, for what we're spending the money for, to give us the most use, I really think that the our final drafting, the revision that angles it out slightly, is really the best way for us to go. It really gives us even though our pier doesn't even stick out as far as our adjacent property owners on the west side or the east side, and I've got a drawing I can show you there. It really, the angling out gives us a nice view of the haven, and also gets me out into a little bit more deeper water. It's somewhat true that our haven is flat, but there was a project that the city came in and did. They took a water main, and brought it right, 40 yards in front of our piers to connect to Hampton Boulevard. And so there is a small channel there. It's about 6 feet wide, 2.5 feet deep. So it gets me closer to that, which at times, if it is tidal water where we live, there's some benefit there for me to be a little bit closer to that than on my first drawing that I had submitted. When the herds protested my final drawing that I submitted, we certainly respect the fact that they're entitled to their opinion, and I've always been open to conversation about this, but honestly, when my wife and I read their comments, we just felt like their concerns really didn't have any merit. I got on the phone to Justine. I said, Justine, I got one property owner sign off, the other one I don't. She said, go ahead and send in the application. We'll send them a notification. A notification was sent. I marked the 16th day on the calendar. I emailed Justine. She said, well, I haven't received any protests, so we'll go ahead and prepare your letter of no permit required, and didn't hear anything else. And then finally, a couple of months later, when the weather permitted and our contractor, we had signed a contract, and he was able to bring his equipment in, the barge showed up, and he wanted to get started. So what I'd like to do here is just address a couple of their concerns. And if you'll dig a little bit into the file. I know that the herds had, if you look at this sheet here, the herds had voiced a concern about the fact that the pier was angling towards their property on the east side, and they were concerned about that encroaching the navigability of
Mr. McWilliams. If we can put that on so everybody could see it. I think that might help.
Right. Anyway, what I want to show there, that's a drawing that Tucker Smith from the Army Corps of Engineers had sent. It was the project diagram, and he had taken what we wanted to do and drawn it more to scale. The drawing that you saw of the project was not drawn to scale because I really wanted to show you what the revision would be, so I purposely made it a little bit larger, but I noted all the drawings on there. Nothing changed about the actual size. It's just that it was not drawn to scale, and Justine didn't require me to draw it to scale. But that's drawn to scale, and as you can see, there's plenty of room on both sides of my pier.
Let me just make sure I understand what we're looking at. Which one is your pier? Which one is the herds?
My pier is one right there in the middle.
Okay.
And that's with the revision, the pier makeover is going to be the 16-by-16-foot pier head and then the slope pier right there. And as you can see, it doesn't even really stick out as far as the other piers. Maybe it's best about the same there. And I think, Justine, you came over for a site view. You've got actual pictures of it. You saw it. The float pier is already in the water, and you can see that it doesn't really stick out as far as any of the other piers. So I just wanted to make that point there. Justine did mention that the Herds did sign off on the on my original project submission, which was a 16-by-16-foot pier head and a covered structure. And I've got the got that drawing attached. So I think you mentioned that. I'll put that on the machine if anybody needs to see it, but it's there in the handouts. Also, I've enclosed a letter from my adjacent neighbor, Clark Olson. He is actually a landscape contractor. He actually does waterfront permitting. He is currently working on a project, and he has signed off on it completely. And the attachment basically is just there to attest to his credentials. He basically says what we're doing is on our property, and we should have the right to make the improvements on our property. We're satisfied not building anything new over on his property line to encroach his property line. And there seems to be plenty of room for everybody. So I just wanted to mention that. And as far as, of course, voiced an opposition because of the fact that our project would obstruct their view, but there are several things that need to be considered there. Number one is the fact that I'm going from a low-profile lift. I had that built back in 1996. You know, we didn't have the problems with the floodwaters, and the reason I did a low-profile is it makes it very easy for me to step on the beam that's closest to my pier and get on my boat. I never had a problem until Isabel. Since then, my boat has literally floated off the lift 3 times. Fortunately, the way I've tied it down, I've been lucky. It's floated literally back on the lift. I don't know if I'll be lucky the 4th time, so I'm converting that to a high-profile lift. And that in itself is going to be in front of the pier roof. So any view that they would see of the roof is going to be obstructed by the high profile lift anyway, and the boat that's set on there.
Linda, can we go back to the video slide?
I was just going to say the picture showing my neighbor's high profile lift. You can see how high up their boat goes, and of course that impacts our view somewhat, but certainly they have the right to have a high-profile lift and a big boat. It's on their property, so we understand that. No, that's fine. And then the last thing, of course, one of the comments was in my discussions with John and Mary, John feels that really people don't build gazebos anymore. They just don't really exist. They're out of character, type of a thing. You could see how he characterized it in his protest letter. And so I requested from Justine
a list of recent projects that the DMRC has examined and permitted part of that attachment.
Might help if you rotate it. Other way. Keep going.
Keep going.
There we go.
Hey.
It's hard to read upside down English.
So there's 20 projects with covered structures, either gazebos or boathouses, that were permitted or there's no permit required. Going back fairly recently around the Lafayette River, there was one project that's down there on the eastern branch of the Elizabeth River near Riverside, which really doesn't affect us. But it got me thinking, you know, I've lived on Edgewater Haven on the Lafayette River pretty much my whole life, and there are a number of boathouses and gazebos there, and they don't really seem to be that obvious, but they are there. So I got curious about it, and I went, I'm not going to put all these. I shot 35 color photos of pier, gazebo, covered structure projects. And all of these are on the Lafayette River, really from Edgewater down to about as far as Lafayette Shores, the Norfolk Zoo, Lafayette, Winona. And I made a chart.
Show us.
The red marks signify basically 44 structures, or 43, because I didn't have the ones on the eastern branch of the Elizabeth, that are on the Lafayette River near Edgewater Haven, near my home, in Edgewater, Lock Haven, Meadowbrook, Algonquin, Riverview, Lakewood, Belvedere, River Point, that whole area.
Where are you on that map?
I am right there. You see where the arrow is?
Okay.
I'm right there. And as you can see, there's some pretty big projects, even in the close vicinity. They're off Dooley Avenue, near ODU, alongside the Haven. It was also mentioned that people don't really do 16 by 16 foot covered structures. That's way too big. But as you can see on the sheet here, there are many projects that were permitted that are even larger than 16 by 16 that are covered. And many of these pictures will also confirm that. I don't want to waste the commission's time by going through, but there's some really pretty good sized projects. So I guess in summation, I would say, you know, why not? Why can't I have a covered roof structure on my property? I can say this, it's going to be as shallow a structure, a pyramid-style roof as possible. The contractor has confirmed to me that it'll be built on a 412 basis. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. McWilliams? Thank you, sir. who wishes to be heard in opposition to the project?
John Hurd.
Mr. Hurd, welcome. Mrs. Hurd, will you be testifying at all? No? We swear yes. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God? Please state your name for the record.
John Reynold Hurd of 1211 South Fairwater Drive. I appreciate your all's time this morning. I know it's valuable, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity to be heard. I think that is probably at the basis of a lot of my unhappiness over the last few months. To be clear, I've been very supportive of Rob's desire to improve his pier structure. In fact, I've suggested it many times over the years, both with the higher profile list as well as a float pier. Float piers just make total sense. Absolutely no issues there. I think this was on again, off again, dating back to about last summer until finally it culminated in late January. And Rob approached us, and I found his drawing somewhat shocking because of the turn in the attitude of the pier as well as the scale of the roof structure. At the time, I found his drawing difficult to ascertain. And I work with drawings on a regular basis. And at that time, I requested, can you get this kind of scaled properly and cleaned up? And he declined and cited the cost of doing so. But, again, requested that I sign off on it. And my comment at the time was, you're asking me to sign off on something that you're acknowledging is not in scale. And we went back and forth a few more times until I generated my letter, which I believe is a part of the record that you all have. In that letter, I mentioned both the angle of the pier, which I thought was unnecessary, and as Justine pointed out, the Army Corps concurred with that, but had no real jurisdiction there because it does not create a navigational hazard. Tucker Smith of the Army Corps also found his drawing to be problematic and attempted to rescale it, which is much, much closer to what we actually have there. I have no issue with that whatsoever, none. When the letter was submitted to the McWilliams, I think Rob found my letter kind of strong. I think it was very matter of fact, and I left the door wide open for further discussion. I think we largely could have worked something out making this unnecessary, this visit today. But we received, despite leaving the door wide open, and Rob and I go back 17 years with a very cordial relationship, and we got no response whatsoever to our letter, nothing. And in fact, despite living side by side, I literally did not see them for months. And our next knowledge of this whole project was on May 17th when the barge showed up. At that time, I contacted the Army Corps. They had no record of a permit. They had record of all the other permits, including my own, that had been done over the years. But they said, no, sir, we have no record of any permit whatsoever. I talked to Justine Monday. We talked about the letter of notification. I made it clear that I never received that letter. Could not explain that, but I guess just the vagaries of the post office. But at that point, Tucker came out and kind of mediated, and we had a very cordial conversation at Rob's pier. And Rob, at this point, was pretty well committed to the roof design that he had submitted. And it was clear he wasn't going to come off that. My final offer was that of, at my own cost, purchasing a commercial-grade umbrella to the tune of about $1,000. I put that in writing to Rob recently, and he declined that. I have submittals on that if you all would find that pertinent, but it's the most overbuilt 11-foot umbrella you've ever seen in your life, and would happily pay for that to avoid the roof structure. That's my issue, the roof structure. And Rob is right in that that high boat lift does create a visual issue, but it's not objectionable. But that in combination with a gazebo with a roof structure of that size, you figure if the drawing is accurate and the poles are 16 foot square, with the overhang, you've probably got an 18 to 19 foot square roof structure. And I would tell you, Mr. Travelstead, in regard to your question for the light there, I would put that light at not too much above where that existing roof structure would sit. So you can see the impact it would have from our yard which amounts to a fairly small body of water there. My contention with the roof structure is that it is not a boathouse. I think the information that Rob showed with all of the points on the river showing roof structures are overwhelmingly boathouses and not gazebos. In fact, I have a map, and I blew up some nice colored maps here. I don't know how well they'll work on this projector, but I have a map of the entire Haven. And if you count those boat slips or those piers, there's nearly 60 of them. And there is only one roof structure in Edgewater Haven, and it's actually at the very mouth of Edgewater Haven with widely separated piers around it that looks onto big water. And so I think that makes Rob's request to put this roof structure there in Edgewater Haven fairly unprecedented, in my opinion. Additionally,
this would be the cove in which we reside right here. That would be my structure, I believe. Yeah, that's right. That would be us right here. That's Rob right there. If you go around, all around the visible structures, all the way around Edgewater Haven, all the way up the Edgewater side, the only roof structure that is in Edgewater Haven that serves as a gazebo is right there. I think it's about a 12 by 16 structure, but I'm not entirely sure. So again, for that reason, I think it makes that structure rather unique and not anywhere near as common as what
Rob would suggest. I guess to that roof structure, aside from the aesthetics, I have to look at your own guidelines, your subaqueous guidelines, section C2, where in discussing roof structures, you have to consider, among other things, the effect of the proposed project upon. It lists a number of things, but those that apply here would be adjacent or nearby properties, anticipated private benefits, and that they will also have to consider the water dependency of the project and alternatives for reducing any anticipated adverse impacts. And also, according to that, as defined by the commission, a water-dependent structure, there are two pertinent questions that have to be answered in the affirmative. The first one is that is it necessary that the structure be located over water? And secondly, is it necessary that the activity associated with that structure be over the water? In my opinion, I would suggest that you cannot answer affirmatively to both of those questions. I guess really that concludes really what I have to put before you all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Hurd? Seeing none, is there anyone else who wishes to speak to this application? Mr. McWilliams, you have a few minutes to rebut any testimony you've heard.
Well, at this time, the only thing I would say is that I guess our maps don't really coincide, because I found there to be many more covered roof structures on the area. You could see from Mr. Hurd's map that they were piers. You can't really tell if they're covered or not, but I would say to you all as commissioners, every one of those that I indicated, I mean, there's a lot of piers out there, but there's a lot more covered structures, gazebos and boathouses than was denoted on there. I took pictures of them. I put the addresses down there. I mean, they are they're within close proximity. There's actually a gazebo inside our haven. It's a very old one that's built just off of the bulkhead on the pier. It's got a terracotta roof. The one that Mr. Hurd mentions is over there. It's right at the end of Eleanor Court. But if you look all around on the maps that I had drawn up in the pictures, I mean, there's 44 covered structures between Old Dominion and Edgewater along Edgewater and then down into the Lafayette. I guess that's still part of the Lafayette as where it becomes the mouth of the Elizabeth and the Lafayette, all the way down to really about as far as Lafayette, Winona, and Riverview. 24 of them aren't even mentioned on the sheet that Justine had provided me with. But I guess that's because some of these structures are old and some of them may have been no permit required. You know, I don't know what it is, but I mean, they're there. Those are the pictures. That's what they look like. And there's sure some of them are boathouses, but there's a lot of gazebos.
Anything else? All right. Mr. Beck.
I wanted to ask Mr. McWilliams a question. The right side of your pier is being removed because is your property line out in the water?
Well, the property line, according to the BMRC, they would not allow me to build anything new on this area. The property line, if it comes across, and it cuts across the armpit, as I call it, so it's a pier that lives like that.
So okay.
The mooring piling in this part of the pier is on the adjacent property line. I wanted to. My original thing was I would love to preserve as much of the original and just gone out straight. I guess the Army Corps would recommend that, but the BMRC would not permit that. So I had to come up with a design.
Yeah, it would help if you would, Mr. McWilliams, can you stay at the podium? So we're recording this.
Okay.
And when you walk up there, we would miss it.
Okay.
If you can use the pointer. Appreciate it. Anything else? Any other questions?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would love to go straight out, but I wasn't able to do that. And so really the best solution to the problem for us was to angle out slightly at about a 80-degree angle.
Well, in that case, a portion of your pier is really not on your property line. Is that correct?
Well, that's what they're saying. These piers have been here for a long time. That pier,
my pier
was built in 1968.
Okay.
The adjacent piers were both there prior to 1968. So, you know, I mean, I thought actually originally I could do that, and short of going through a riparian rights process, we just decided to, because there's plenty of room for us on this side, we just decided to angle the pier head slightly in that direction. And
you.
As you can see from the drawings, there's plenty of room on both sides to accommodate navigational issues.
Tony, can you speak to the issue of the property lines?
And I think that's a factor here, of course. And I first want to state that we can't determine riparian rights at the commission level. That's for the courts to determine between adjoining owners. When we run into situations where there appears to be a potential conflict, though, one neighbor suggests that I think it will be in my riparian area and the pier proponent wants to put it in that location, we will oftentimes tell the applicants that we just don't think we can take action on your private pier request under the exemption until you get the riparian areas resolved. And that sometimes will require going to court between the two owners to define the boundary, or else they come to some agreement and let us know that they don't have any objection to where it's going to go and they don't think it's a conflict. And then we'll acknowledge that we believe the statutory authorization contained in code applies. So to say it a different way, I do want to point out that the property line extended
from the shore straight out would not necessarily define the riparian area. The riparian area is defined by the line of navigability and the property owner's proportion along that line. So when you get to the water's edge from the property, the lines of the riparian areas can start to move and shift. And that's what makes it hard to determine sometimes. So the fact that we wouldn't allow it to be straight, I don't know if that's the right way to say it. It's just that there may be a riparian conflict that would have to be resolved if it went straight out.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the reason I asked the question, and maybe it's frivolous, but I was wondering if Mr. Hurd's pier was on his property or encroached on Mr. McWilliams' property. And from the looks of the drawings, it looked like it might be, but I didn't know that.
I'd like to answer that. I own 80% of their pier.
That's what I was wondering.
And that pier has been in existence prior to me buying the property.
That's my, you've answered my question.
Thank you. Matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the discussion we've had on this case, and I think the protestants have raised an interesting question about the water dependency of the structure. That has always been, I think, one of the cornerstones of commission policy, and yet a number of years ago, the state legislature modified Section 28.2.1203 of the code to provide specifically for consideration for gazebos. We had evidence of photographs of other gazebos around the area, and I won't speculate about whether or not those had specific permit authorization. The waterways of the Commonwealth have always had a number of gazebo structures that weren't necessarily permitted, and in the past they would come before us on an after the fact basis. The commission never went out looking for those, but occasionally they would come in. And we would often require their removal. But in the intervening history, the legislature stepped in, modified the code to provide for these types of structures. And I think with respect to the specific concern about the aesthetics, this is being built with a low-pitch roof. A 412 pitch is a low pitch. I think that and the open-sided nature of the structure, as staff point out, do modify some of those aesthetic impacts. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would offer a motion to approve the project per staff recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Beck. Comments, Mr. Fox?
Yes, just a comment. I think Mr. McWilliams has volunteered to take down his light pole, and it would seem to me that the light from that would be far more objectionable than a gazebo. But so we'll also support the motion.
Any further comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you. Permit is issued.